So shall we turn together to the Book of the Psalms and chapter 8. And we will read together from verse 3. When I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? For thou hast made him a little lower than the angels, and hast crowned him with glory and honor. Thou madest him to have dominion over the works of thy hand. Thou hast put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, yea, and the beasts of the field, the fowl of the air, and the fish of the sea, and whatsoever passeth through the paths of the seas. O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is thy name in all the earth. I would like to lift that little expression in verse number 4. What is man that thou art mindful of him? The writer is the shepherd David, possibly written in early years. As this young man tended the sheep yonder on the slopes of the hills outside Bethlehem, at night he would gaze upon the handiwork of God. And as he considered the work of God's hands, the moon and the stars, and all the work of God in creation, he is led to acknowledge, what is man? There are three words used in the original for man. He is described as man, a human being. Another word means a husband. And another word is translated for us, poor, frail, mortal man. Now that's the word that is used here. Frail, mortal man. And as David considered the creation in its immensity, and he thought of the mighty power of God behind the creation, and then considered the insignificance of frail mortal man, he exclaims, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Dear friends, I suggest that we understand more of the immensity, of the vastness of God's creation, more than ever David realized. Men tell us today that there are planets out there, and they talk about being 7,000 million light years away. And to my mind, it's staggering. And yet think, my friend, that God has placed every planet in its orbit. And the world on which we live, spinning on its axis at the rate of 24,000 miles per day, and everything in perfect balance. When I hear men say that they need to adjust their clocks after so many years by a percentage of a second, 3,000 of a second, I think of the masterpiece and the wonder of the creation in which we live. But remember, upon this world, which is only a little speck in the vast universe, there are something like 5,000 million people. And here we are, little individuals, little units, how small and how insignificant. And yet I want to tell you that God has an interest in every individual. Is it any wonder, as we consider these things, that the psalmist would say, "What is man that thou art mindful of him?" Ah, let me tell you, dear friend, we are so insignificant in the sight of a holy God. The nations are but as the small dust of the balance before him. And yet, his interest is in every individual. I want to tell you, my friend, that my Bible declares that man is a depraved creature. Man is a sinful creature. Listen to these words, Romans chapter 3. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And here we are, children of Adam, men and women upon this world, all descendant from our first parents, who came so perfect from the hand of an almighty Creator and placed yonder in the Garden of Eden. Of those early days when man sinned against God and disobeyed God. And down the centuries, men have rebelled against God. And there is enmity in every heart against the God of heaven. Is it any wonder the psalmist says, "What is man? Do we not wonder that he should ever think upon us?" Remember, we are but frail, mortal creatures. Here today, we may be gone tomorrow. Not one of us in this company have any guarantee that we will be here tomorrow. And when we compare ourselves with the Almighty Creator, the one who not only brought it into existence, the one who created the universe out of nothing, and he sustains it, and has maintained it and sustained it right down the centuries and the millenniums until this present moment. And I want to tell you, my friend, that in spite of our insignificance, in spite of our frailty, in spite of our sin and our rebellion, God in heaven is interested in each individual. What is man? Man is a sinner. Man is a depraved creature. Isaiah chapter 1 tells us, from the sole of the foot to the crown of the head, full of wounds and bruises and putrefying sores. Not one good thing in this heart of mine. Jeremiah tells us, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And who can know it? And yet, my friend, in spite of the fact that we are so insignificant and so unworthy and such sinners and rebellious against our God, God is interested in us. Friend, I want to tell you that we are the objects of divine love. And that to me is absolutely amazing. Listen to these lovely words. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Friend, not only is God interested in us, but he loved us. And he so loved us that he gave his Son, his only Son. The Lord Jesus Christ came from yonder throne of glory down to this scene, went to yonder hill of Calvary outside Jerusalem's walls to die for ruined sinners, for guilty man, for creatures of the dust such as you and I, who had absolutely no hope for the great eternity. Because of our sin and our rebellion, because of how we had disobeyed God, we could not stand in his holy presence, and the future for each of us was black. We had no hope. Remember, dear friend, we are creatures bound for eternity. Because away back in the beginning, I read that God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. And each of us are creatures bound for the great eternity. That's what makes the difference between man and the animal creation. God breathed into man's nostrils the breath of life, And man is a creature bound for the great forever. But because of our sin, and because of our rebellion, and because that our first parents disobeyed God, and each of us have been born, as the psalmist tells us, shapen in iniquity, born with that sinful nature, we can never stand in the presence of a holy God. And if we cannot be in God's heaven, then we must be banished from His presence down in the depths of eternal despair, in hell and the lake of fire. In light of this, our Savior came from the heights of glory, as the poet has put it, down from the glory the Savior came, down to the cross and the death of shame. Gazing in wonder, we there exclaim, Jesus died for me. Friend, to think that you and I would be the object of divine love. And what love? He so loved that He gave His Son. He could give nothing more. He gave the very best that heaven could give for ruined, guilty man. And thank God that while man is the object of divine love, man is the recipient of divine grace. Dear friend, in wondrous grace, God has provided salvation for you and for me, made it possible that we could escape the judgment of God, that we could be delivered from the awful consequences of our sins, and that we could know a place in heaven and in glory with Him forever. What a message. Is it any wonder that we love to preach the gospel, dear friend? Oh, to be able to look into the face of every individual, every man and every woman, and tell them God loves you. And Christ died upon the cross, and there made a full provision that you and I could be in heaven eternally. That we could escape the judgment of God and the wrath of God and the consequences of our sins and share a place in glory. And as we move night after night, we will tell you, dear friend, of the wonders of this salvation, because He has not only lifted us from the very depths of sin, from the miry clay, and placed our feet upon a rock, the rock Christ Jesus, but He has fitted us for everlasting glory. And we are going to be with and like the Lord Jesus Christ Himself in that coming day. Oh, the wonders of His love. To think that the Christ of God should partake of human flesh. Ah, but different. Every other individual was born with a sinful nature, but my Savior was born holy. The Word of God says, that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And the Christ of God partook of humanity. He lived upon this world just as you and I do. He moved amongst the poor. The Word of God tells us He went about doing good. But the purpose of His coming was to go to the cross and there make atonement for sin. And by the sacrifice of Himself, He put away sin. He died. But He rose again. And 40 days later, He ascended. Ascended from this scene. And He has gone right into the very courts of heaven, into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. The Lord Jesus Christ has taken humanity to the highest pinnacle of glory. What is man that thou art mindful of him? In this psalm we have a picture of Adam, our first parent, who was given that position of honor and dominion over the creation. But from that position he fell. But my blessed Lord, the second man, he came from heaven. He partook of human flesh. And he has ascended to the very throne of heaven. And dear friend, let me tell you, he is able to save to the uttermost all who will come. The purpose of His coming to earth was to provide salvation. And one day He is going to people heaven. He is going to take many sons to glory. Poor, frail, mortal creatures like you and me, lifted from the very depths and the very and the miry clay, and fitted for a place in glory. And I want to tell you, dear friend, you can enjoy that and enter into the good of that and know the blessing of that eternally, because Christ has died. And we have come to tell you of a salvation provided and of a salvation offered, full and free, without money and without price, to the whosoever will. And to everyone who is prepared to come in repentance and receive the Lord Jesus Christ can enter into the blessing of salvation, of sins forgiven, and of everlasting life. What a message. Is it any wonder the apostle said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. May the Lord bless his word.